I'm going to be over in Philippians, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read one verse this morning, verse 4. I've preached on this many times, but the Lord's given me something about this here this morning I want to dig into again. Philippians 4:4. If you would and you're able this morning, let's stand. And we'll read it this morning. It's up on the screens. It's also there. So very simple. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Pretty simple, is it not? All right, let's pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving one more time, Lord. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the opportunity to gather here in the house of the Lord this morning, Lord, and to praise you, Father, and to listen to your word and teaching, Lord. And I pray, Father, that the word that goes out, the message goes out this morning, Lord. I pray for the anointing of that as well. I pray that hearts are opened up, Lord. I pray that whatever the message needs to be done, Lord, that it goes to it. And we'll give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Have you ever heard of the young story about a young man that decided he wanted to go into the monastery and become a monk? That's what he wanted to do. And now upon joining the monastery, which he did, there was a vow of silence that they had to take. And what it was, with that vow, they could only speak two words every 5 years. My grandson would never last. I understand that. Not you, Josh. I'm talking about Ben. He would never last. But anyway, he's only allowed to speak two words every 5 years. So at the end of the first 5 years, his two words, bad food. That's what he said. Then he went, another 5 years went by, he said hard bed. So another 5 years went by, and it's at the end of the 15th year, and he says, "I quit." He said, "I quit." So the head of the monastery replied, "Well, you might as well quit. The last 15 years, all you've done is complain." Folks, it seems that no matter where we go today, and this is the point of what I like to say, no matter where we go today, there's a spirit of joylessness out there. Has anybody caught a hold of that? I've caught a hold of that. You go out there and you see it, you know, it seems like you can hear people complaining about anything and everything, right? Their jobs, their marriage, the weather, or anything. You know, they just can't rejoice. They're anything that they get into, they just cannot and will not rejoice about it. The taxes they pay, the cost of living, complaining about the schools that their kids go to, complaining about the traffic, complaining about the way their food is cooked. No matter where you go, there's always something. As a matter of fact, in a recent Gallup poll, 69% of American adults are unhappy. Let that sink in just for a little bit. And you want to understand why there's complaining? They're unhappy. So it should come as no surprise that even as Christians, some people complain. Does that surprise any of you? It doesn't me. I'm the pastor. I hear a lot of it. I hear a lot of it. And now you may be here this morning and you may not feel like there's any reason in your life to be happy or have any joy in your life. You may feel that this morning. I don't know. I hope you're not like that. But you may be sitting here this morning and thinking that. Or you're not able to rejoice about anything. Can I tell you, life has a way of doing that to us sometimes. It really does. There's a song, and I know we've sung it here, but I think you remember it. "There ain't nothing going to steal my joy." You heard that song before? Well, unfortunately, that song's not always true. It's not always true. Because we as Christians know that sometimes there are things that try to steal our joy, and they can really be successful at doing that sometimes. Jesus said this in John 10:10. Did he not say this? "The thief cometh not, but for to do what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that I might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, there are thieves out there everywhere wanting to steal your joy. Amen? He is. And they would love nothing more than to do that and to take the rejoicing completely out of you. That's what they would love to do. And today, with everything going on in this world, it's easy to see how our joy can be affected by this stuff. It can be. In the Bible, joy and rejoice and rejoicing and are mentioned over 450 times in the Bible. Over that many times. Now get this, in the book of Philippians alone, those verses are mentioned, and those were 14 times. There's only 104 verses in Philippians, but it talks about joy and rejoicing 14 times in the book of Philippians. As a matter of fact, the scholars call it the happy book. They call it the book of joy. So if you're ever feeling kind of depressed, let me give you a little place to go read. Go grab the book of Philippians and just start reading through it. Because Paul's wanting you to have joy and to rejoice. I believe there's many reasons for us as Christians to have joy in our heart. And if the Lord will allow me this morning, I want to go into a few of them this morning that I believe, you know what, you may be sitting here and you may be thinking that there's no reason on this on God's green earth that I have to be joyful or to rejoice about. But I believe there's a lot of scriptures that tell us we have a lot to be joyful about, that we have a lot that we can rejoice about. Some of them can be found in the book of Philippians, but still others are found in other places in the scriptures. So I'm going to take you through some of the scriptures that talks about how we can have rejoicing in our heart this morning. First off, the thing that we can rejoice about most of all is knowing Jesus. Amen? You may be sitting here this morning and you may be thinking there's nothing that I have to be joyful about. Brother or sister, if you know Jesus, listen, you've got everything to rejoice about. Paul tells us in very simple terms that joy or rejoicing for a child of God shouldn't come from things or circumstances. Amen? There's a difference. I want to lay this out to you right now. You mark this in your Bible between happiness and joyfulness. There's a difference. And you say, well, what's that? In today's way of thinking, you're not gonna, they'll think about being happy or happiness. They'll think about that. So, you know what that means? You see, happiness depends on temporal things and is based on circumstances. That's what happens. You don't think so? So it depends on what kind of day you're having. Have you ever heard anybody say to you, man, you're having a joyful day, aren't you? Are you joyful? They'll ask you, are you happy? Right? They'll ask you that. Listen. On what kind of day you're having sometimes can depend on whether or not you're having, whether you're happy or not. You know, if you have money in the bank, if your marriage is good, if your team is winning, if you've had a good round of golf, if you bagged a big buck or a big fish, if it's sunny outside, you're happy. But the moment sometimes that any of those things change in your life, it can change the circumstance. And you may not feel as happy as you once did. Amen. That's right. So happiness can fluctuate based on circumstances. When things change, so does our happiness sometimes. Whereas joy or joyfulness is relational. And can I tell you this? It's eternal. That's what joy is about. Listen. Joy will transcend good days and bad days. Joy will do that. That's what happens whenever we have true joy in our heart. Listen, when Paul is talking about joy, he is not talking about a philosophy. He's not talking about a creed. He's not talking about a theory or a doctrine based on circumstances. When he's talking about true joy as a Christian, the joy that we have comes from knowing a person. And that person is Jesus. That's where true joy comes from. It does. When you have a relationship with Jesus, listen to me. Your worst day with Jesus is better than your best day without him. Absolutely. Absolutely. He has done so much for us and is still doing it. Listen, our verse of Scripture, the first one we read there, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Praise His name this morning. We rejoice in Him. That's where our true joy comes from. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Did you get that? His joy was going to that. Going to that, why? Because He knew that His joy in the end of it was for us to have salvation. And knowing Him, praise His name this morning, we can have joy in knowing the One that did so much for us. He has done that. Joy is an underlying, constant, abiding relationship that Jesus abides in me and He loves me and He's in control. I don't know about you, but that brings a lot of joy to my heart, knowing that, you know what? No matter what I face tomorrow, Jeremy, no matter what I face, He's there. And He's there for me. You know what? It may be bad news tomorrow, but praise God, He's there. It may be awesome news tomorrow. Praise God, He's there as well. I'm telling you, listen, and whatever comes our way, guess what? He's got it. Doesn't that bring you joy? That goes way beyond happiness. That goes to joy. Number two, we can rejoice because we get the privilege of talking about Jesus. Do you know that? Philippians 1:18. That what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. I therein do what? Rejoice. Rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Can I tell you something? Preach means here. Now don't misunderstand what preach means here. It means to publicly spread the message about Jesus. How many of you in here can publicly spread the message about Jesus? I think all of us can raise our hand, right? And listen to me. Well, you don't need to stand behind a pulpit or have a preaching license to do that. None of us do. Getting to talk about the One who saved us, getting to talk about Him gives us eternal life, gives us life more abundantly right now, who can give us rest when life is taking its toll on us. Brothers, that should give us joy to do that. And we can have joy in talking about Him. Paul says we can. We can do that this morning, all of us. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, as He said this morning, and I will do what? I'll give you rest. We should be rejoicing because we get the privilege to talk about the One who gives us rest. I mean, listen, if we can talk about so many things out here in the world today. You know what? I can talk about my cars, all the stuff that I have. I can talk about that till I'm blue in the face. None of that will give me eternal life. But Jesus, the One who did that, isn't He worth talking about? When Paul was giving us this book, he was in prison, locked in chains. Amen. He wasn't focused on circumstances. He was rejoicing because he was getting to talk about Jesus. I don't know about you. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, if I was in prison, he said, I wouldn't probably be rejoicing. Well, yeah, that's us. But Paul's telling us we can rejoice no matter what our circumstances are. Listen, that's a hard thing to swallow for some of us sometimes, but praise God, it can happen. He only cared that Jesus' name was being publicly lifted up, and He gave Him joy. That should give us joy to be able to talk about Jesus. Amen? As a Christian, we have so much to be thankful for, but the greatest joy we should have lies in the fact that we're saved. Amen? Jesus tells us in Luke 10, Remember that? And I think we all have heard the story about the 72 that Jesus sent out. Remember that? He sent them out. And when they returned rejoicing because even the demons were subject to the name of Jesus. And Jesus told them this. Luke 10:20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Amen. We could, you know, I don't know about you this morning, but just knowing that I'm saved, praise His name. That just brings such joy to my heart. When I get up in the morning and I know that I'm saved, that I'm headed to heaven one day. Doesn't that not give you joy and a reason to rejoice? Listen, Christians, I know life can throw us a curveball. It's thrown many at us. All over this church, I can see it. You've all been thrown different things in life that have been hit you. Even with all those troubles and trials in life, we can rejoice knowing we're saved and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Over in Revelation 21:27, it says this, and there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, we're headed home one day. Man, if you can't rejoice about that, I mean, listen, Romans 5:11 says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Man alive. See, there's so much that as Christians, we've got to be joyful and can rejoice about. We can rejoice because we have a hope. Amen? Listen, it would be a dreadful thing to live in a life without hope. And now I am so glad that I have. Listen, Everett Snyder, the other night we went up there to his funeral up there for the visitation the other night, and cars were parked clear down to the church down below there, and there were people out that line clear back through there and going into there. And you know what? One of the things that I've heard him talk to is Everett preached the gospel, and ever give them hope. There were people there to celebrate. Listen to me. It'd be a dreadful thing for you to come here and not leave without any hope in your life. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Mark that in your Bibles. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice, our hope is lively. We have a lively hope. Why is our hope lively? We have a joyful hope. Listen, I don't serve Buddha. I don't serve Muhammad. I serve the living God. I have a hope. All those people, they're in the grave somewhere. They're dead. My Lord's not in a grave. My Savior, He's alive. We have a lively hope. We have joy here this morning. Listen, we have a joyful hope here this morning because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Had Jesus not risen from the grave, we would be without hope. But He rose. I know it. Why do I know? Because He lives within our hearts this morning. That's how we know it. I say this quite often. I don't need to go to Israel to find an empty tomb over there. Don't need to. Don't need to go over there to see it. I know He's alive. The day He saved me, I know He's alive. But because Christ was resurrected, He said in John 14:9, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. Listen, in a hopeless world, in a hopeless world, every one of us in here should have hope that we can rejoice and be joyful in. Amen? Another thing, we can rejoice about having the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Over in Romans 14:17, it says this, for the kingdom of God is not meat, and it's not drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We can have joy because the Holy Ghost lives within us. It's not about what we take in and what we drink and what we eat. It's not all about that. It's about the joy of the Holy Spirit that is within us. That's where we get our joy from. I praise His name. Romans 15:3. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And ye become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, listen, if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you have joy. You have it. Listen, sometimes, you know, we think, you know what, we have nothing to be joyful about, but praise God, whenever I feel His Spirit talking to me and showing me and leading me, it brings such joy to me. And it should do the same for you. Joy, rejoicing in the Holy Ghost, go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Another thing to be thankful for. We go right back to the book of Philippians. And it says this in Philippians 1, 4, and 5. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I don't know whether you understand this or not, but if you're here this morning, you're fellowshipping with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and can I tell you, you should have joy in being able to fellowship with those people. You should have joy. We should be thankful for the spiritual strength that it gives us. Listen, I am thankful when I come here. And we can offer our prayer request. We can do this now. But I'm thankful that you're praying for me before I ever get here. At least I hope you are. And I hope that I'm praying for you before you ever get here. Because, praise God, we have fellowship. When somebody hurts in this church family, we should all hurt. Amen. Whenever somebody rejoices in this church family, we should all rejoice. That's not me. That's what the Bible says that we should do is fellowship. And I praise Him here this morning that through that fellowship, for the prayers and the encouragement in times of trouble, that we share one another's burdens. I'm telling you, I am thankful that whenever I have problems in my life and you got problems in your life, we can put it out on that prayer line. And guess what? I feel in my heart that people go right to their knees to pray. Or they say a prayer right there where they're at. Because that's what it's about. We have fellowship. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, so ye fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? That we love one another. Amen? And a shared goal. We have a shared goal when we fellowship, right? The first and the most important shared goal is to spread the gospel as a church. All the other thing is just, it is there for us to, you know, without a vision, what's it say? The people perish. Praise God, we got that here this morning through the fellowship that we have a goal that the gospel goes out to a lost and a dying world. Praise His name. Gathering together the church body should not be a burden to any of us. Should not be a burden. Should not be we should rejoice just like David did. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why? Not only to go there and to be blessed, but to gather together with like-minded people, with like-minded passions. Can we do that? We got a lot to be thankful for so far, right? We can rejoice also that we have a new home one day. You know what? Whenever you move into a new home, it's exciting, is it not? You know, we all of us at times in our life have moved into a new place. It may have been years ago or it may have been recently. But when we moved in, it was exciting, was it not? It was. We were thankful. Now listen to what John 14, 2 and 3 says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye be also. Listen to me. Listen, one of these days, we're going to not move into just a new home. We're moving into an eternal home one day. Can I tell you something else? You won't have to buy it. You can't actually. You can't purchase it. Because he said right there, it's an inheritance. Over in 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, I know my house, it needs stuff done to it right now, right? Because things happen. Things break. Things go bad. You know, faucets are going to leak once in a while. There's going to be things happening. I'm telling you, we're going to a place one day that's incorruptible. You know what? We should be thankful and joyful that He has made a place like that for us. And it's eternal. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, we're to do what? Comfort one another. Comfort one another with these words. Listen to me. We got an eternal home. We got a place to go. Listen, I you know what? I still believe it's a mansion. I mean, if some people say, well, it's a place. You know what? I've said this before. I don't care if it's a cabin up there, as long as I get there. But I'm telling you what, I don't believe there's nothing second best when it comes to heaven. Not a thing. Revelations 21, 1 through 5. Then I'll end with this. Get a song ready, please. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And this is what I love. And this is so, listen to me, all you that have cried for the loss of a loved one. All you that have faced troubles and trials. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Listen, my mom lives in pain, constant pain right now. One of these days, there won't be no pain. For the former things are passed away, and He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write these words. Why? For they are true, and they are faithful. Praise His name. Brothers, we have plenty to be joyful about and to rejoice about. Do you know the only time sometimes we as preachers ever talk about joy is at Christmas time? I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Because we don't talk that way mostly. We talk about happiness. We talk about this. And that. Listen to me. Joy is deeper than happiness. Listen, if you do not have joy, I'm begging you this morning, this altar is open. It's open for all those that have, listen to me, we can have a joy and a peace that passes all understanding. The world don't understand. The world doesn't understand joy. They kind of talk about happiness once in a while, but like I said, that's circumstantial. I'm here this morning to tell you there is something that goes beyond all the circumstances. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? All right, if we get a song this morning, if you would, let's stand. If you have a need this morning, please come.